This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 10, How to Spend 33% Less for Flights with
Points and Miles.
Hey Tony, how's it going?
Pretty darn good. How are you doing?
Pretty darn good, I guess.
Good answer.
Oh man, no swearing on this podcast, man.
Darn's okay. That's G-rated.
Okay, whatever you say. So I am here in Baltimore again, in the domain of Mark, posted up at my computer. Where are you?
I am still in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh yeah. So what have you done there recently? Today's episode is talking about using points and miles, and we're gonna get into it. But you obviously are traveling, so what have you been doing lately?
Well, I just got here a couple days ago from Tasmania, which is still part of Australia. It's that island off the south coast. I was there for a little over a week, and it was a beautiful place, lots of natural beauty there. Before that, I was in Adelaide. I took a tour from the Red Center, where there's a bunch of red rocks and red dirt all the way down to Adelaide. And before that, I was in Sydney. So I pretty much made my way big C shape around Australia so far.
Okay. And so have you used points and miles to get there to Australia?
I have not, but I will be using them to come home.
All right. Well, if you wanted to use points to get to Australia and back, well, first off, it's really complicated to do, or really hard to do because that's such a popular route. But I will say that using this guide from this episode of this podcast, you'll have a better idea of how to use points, what points are, basically how to get free travel. So simply put.
Yeah, and I know the title is How to Spend 33% Less for Flights, but you are essentially getting these for free. We'll explain the difference in just a sec.
Exactly. So I guess I'm the key person driving all my friends to use points and miles to travel. I think this started about 2 years ago, in 2017. I was just searching the internet and I stumbled across a lot of these credit card offers for travel credit cards and stuff like that. And basically what they tell you is that if you use this credit card, like the Chase Sapphire Reserve or the American Express Platinum or Citi, I think it's called Travel Rewards, something like that. Basically, if you use this credit card, you can gain points for different spending categories. So for the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which Tony and I both have, so it's 3 points for every dollar you spend at a restaurant or for travel. And that's a really broad category. So it can be like parking at a garage or airplane tickets or train tickets or fast food at Chick-fil-A or McDonald's. So you get 3 points for every dollar you spend. And then one point for every dollar you spend on any other category. So like for gas, you'll get 1 point and stuff like that. And for the more advanced award travelers who want to maximize their point spending, there's usually you can link those travel reward credit cards with different products from the same bank. So for like Chase, you can link it with the Freedom Unlimited or the Sapphire Business or something like that. And you can maximize your spending category. But we're not going to go there. That's super complicated. We're just going to go into the pure basics. So the Chase Sapphire Reward. So that's the credit card that I got for my honeymoon. And I basically used points to get to Hawaii for my honeymoon. And I used points to get around Europe this past year. So I think it's impressive that you're able to travel to these places that you wouldn't necessarily be able to afford. So I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, that seems like a really expensive plane ticket and trip in general. How did you manage that, like, without paying any money for those flights?
Yeah, so we'll get into it. But again, this podcast is going to primarily focus on the Chase system because that's what I'm familiar with. But you should know that there still is American Express and Citibank, and they all have different categories that make them better cards in some instances. But this is what we know. And so what I'll say is that this kind of started when I learned about the Chase Sapphire Chase Sapphire Reserve, and they had this huge 100,000 point bonus, signing bonus. So if you spent X amount of dollars in the first 4 months, you got 100,000 points, which was, I think equivalent to about $1,500, not $15,000, $1,500, which is great. So basically, what this credit card gives you is a $300 travel credit. It gives you free global entry, which, if you don't know what that is, basically you can, it's a express pass for going through U.S. Customs to enter back into the United States. It gives you a priority pass lounges. So basically, airport lounges are part of this priority pass system where you can use your credit card or this credit card and show them that you have a priority pass membership and you'll get in for free. And these lounges have food, alcohol, power outlets. It's just a nice, once you've gone into an airport lounge, you never want to go back to sitting at the gate ever.
That's so true. Yeah, it seems like these cards with the points on it, it's not just about the points. There's extra perks associated with it.
Yeah, exactly. So the perks are really part of the having the card. It's the power of the card. So what I'll say is that when you amass these points, there's kind of two ideas to amassing points. The first is essentially hoarding, right? So you keep spending, you keep gaining these points, and then you use them all on one big purchase. Whereas the second kind of idea is you keep spending your points on smaller purchases. So like you could, if you're a hoarder, you could spend 100,000 points on one business class ticket to Australia. Or you can spend your points on like five economy class tickets from the United States to Australia. So that's different ideas and different people, different focuses. It's basically what you want to do. Do you want to use these points to experience luxury, or do you want to use these points to just travel to as many places as possible? And that's going to depend on the person.
And we all know Mark at this point, he's the luxurious traveler. Isn't that right, Mark?
Yeah, that's very true. I'm the luxurious traveler, but I have never flown business class before. So that is the dream one day. One day we will get there.
When we go to the Arabian Peninsula, maybe.
Yeah. That should be fun. On Emirates, do you have an extra 20 grand?
I'll be in the back in economy, last row.
Yeah, so hopefully that passive investing strategy that we've talked about for the last two episodes work out. and if you haven't listened to those accounts, go check them out. Or episodes, sorry. Yeah. If you haven't listened to those episodes, go check those out. And maybe you can afford a Emirates business class or first class ticket one day.
One thing you talked about, Mark, was a 100,000 point sign-on bonus. Now, that sounds like a lot of points. What does that actually equate to in dollar value?
So in dollar value, that equates to $1,500. But that signing bonus is gone, and I don't think it's actually going to come back as far as the Chase Sapphire Reserve goes. I think it's going to be, I think it's $50,000 right now. So that's like $750.
Yeah, when I signed up in the beginning of 2018, it was 50,000 points sign-on bonus.
Yeah, but that being said, $750 you don't have to pay for really goes a long way, right?
That's huge. It's still totally worth it to sign up.
Yeah, so basically for the Chase Sapphire family, 100 points are worth $1 if cashed out. So you can use these points for travel, but you can also use these points to actually pay for your bill, your credit card statement. And honestly, that's not the best use of your points. You can use these points to also shop at different vendors. So like Apple, you can go buy Apple products with these points, but that's not the best use of these points. These points are best used traveling to different places. So you can do that in two fashions with the Chase Sapphire Reserve. And also the American Express Platinum and the Citi family. You can do these too. But you can either transfer your points to what they call a partner, or you can use these points in their own portals. So the Chase Sapphire Reward has a Chase portal where you can book your travel through this portal and you use your rewards to book your travel. Now, what's different is that for the Chase Travel Portal, you are guaranteed 100 points equating to $1.50. So what does that mean in layman's terms?
I think what you're trying to say is points are worth 1.5 times more when redeemed for travel than if you would just cash them out. Because earlier you said 100 points is a dollar, but it seems like 100 points is $1.50 if used for travel.
Yeah. And so for those of you thinking, I thought there would be no math on this podcast, Tony will do all the math for us, and you can just blindly listen to him.
You can trust me. I did my research.
Yeah. So basically, you're guaranteed a value of 1.5 if you use a Chase Travel Portal. But with that being said, sometimes you find better values at transfer partners. So for like Chase, you can transfer to British Airways or Singapore Airlines, or you can transfer to Marriott or Hilton. And those Chase Sapphire rewards will actually convert to one, I guess, United Mile or Hilton Point or Starwood, or actually Marriott Point. I don't know what they're called anymore because they just changed. Did you see this? Marriott changed to a new loyalty system called Bonvoy.
Bonvoy, no.
Bonvoy, yeah. Okay, so I don't know if it's a Bonvoy point or a Marriott point. Either way, you can transfer your values at a one-to-one value. So that's also a different thing. But the standard is 1.5 for Chase.
And when you do the math, that is essentially where you get the 33% less from. Like, something that has a value of 1.5 times more, you're essentially paying 33% less, or a third less.
Yeah, but you're also got to think that you're actually, if you use these points for your full flight and you haven't necessarily paid for them, they're just credit card points, you haven't really paid for it. It's technically free, right?
It is free, yes. I think it always comes back to, you can potentially cash these out for dollars. And yes, that's why, yes, we're saying it's 33% less, because the plane ticket has a dollar value associated with it. And let's just say your plane ticket is $600, like retail, yep, value. Mm-hmm. If you were to buy that with points, you would have to use 40,000 points, which is equal to $400. Does that, yeah, math that,
so,
up?
Yeah. So it does. But there's a lot of math going around right now. And if you're still with us, thank you very much.
It honestly took me 6 months to figure out the math behind all these travel points. And Mark was really helpful in getting me to that point. So that's our goal in this episode, to help you all figure it out.
A couple resources if you don't fully understand what we're talking about. The first one is thepointsguy.com. I'm not a huge fan of that website, but it actually does a good job of explaining kind of the basics of how to use miles and points. The second one is actually the Reddit, Award Travel Reddit. They are super helpful about routings and stuff like that and trying to maximize your points also. But before we do this, I think we need to go through a couple things. The first is, if you're using a credit card to actually pay for travel, you need to be sure that you actually don't keep a balance on your credit card. That's just good fiscal responsibility anyways, but because if you keep a balance on your credit card, you're going to hit, these aren't no interest credit cards. These credit cards typically do carry an interest with them, and you will get hit. And basically whatever interest you get hit with will cancel out whatever points value you actually want. Right. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. I always take that for granted, but I think the statistic is that the majority of people do carry a balance, which is kind of a shame. That's you shouldn't be doing that.
You shouldn't. Yeah, you shouldn't. But again, that's just like a general thing for life.
Yeah,
it's kind of more applicable for travel or credit cards. Second thing is that you don't necessarily actually have to use a credit card. Hotel chains and airlines, they will give you points if you buy a hotel room and spend a night in a hotel room, but they'll also give you points for flying with this particular airline. And so if you have a loyalty account or a frequent flyer account, make sure you add that to any flights you pay for in the future. And that will actually help you get some points for your account so that you don't have to rely on just one method.
I just got an email from United Airlines saying that I have like 3,000 points with them that are going to expire. Is that worth anything?
3,000? No, not really. Maybe, so maybe, well, I think you can use the United miles for like in-flight Wi-Fi, but I think the minimum is like 5,000 miles for like 24 hours. So it's,
oh damn.
So maybe you can get like 30 minutes of Wi-Fi on a flight, but I think the minimum for United is 12,500 miles. So, like, if you're flying from the east coast of the United States to the west coast of the United States, the minimum would be 12,500 miles. That's the bottom line.
One thing that always confused me is miles versus points.
Yeah, so they're the same thing. It just points are associated with, like, hotel chains and everything else not in the air.
So it's like, it's just like an arbitrary unit that they chose.
Pretty much. Points and miles are like the same thing. It's just where you amass them. So miles could be from airlines primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And points are usually from like hotel chains or credit card companies or Amtrak or something like that.
Can you say that like 10 United miles is worth 10 Chase Sapphire points? Does it work that way?
Yes, because you are, well, it only goes one way, right? So you can't cannot transfer United miles to Chase Sapphire reserve points or rewards, but you can go the other way. So yes, 10 Chase Sapphire reward points or ultimate rewards do equate to 10 United points.
Okay, that helps a lot.
Yeah. And so that's where some value can be found. So let's go through your example real quick. So you recently bought a ticket to XNA. What's XNA?
XNA is Northwest Regional Arkansas's airport in Bentonville.
Okay. And where are you flying from?
I'm flying from Auckland. So that's going to be about a month from the time of this recording. There's one stop in LA, and then the final destination is, like Mark said, XNA.
Okay. So walk us through your process. What did you actually do? And I'll see like what you could have done better, what you did well or something like that.
Very good. Okay. So I first went to Google Flights. That's my go-to for looking up flights. And I searched for flights from Auckland, New Zealand to Northwest Regional Arkansas Airport. And I noticed that the last week of March, which is when I'm going to fly, flights were essentially half as much as what they were the first week of April. So that's first like why I decided to fly that week as opposed to the first week of April. So I found the cheapest day to fly was a Wednesday, and the cost of that ticket on Google Flights was $580. So knowing that, I was like, and this was honestly my first points purchase. I went over to the Chase Sapphire Reserve points portal, where I had a little bit over 100,000 points to spend, and I saw the same exact flight from Auckland to XNA for the same exact dollar amount on the Chase portal. So it was $580 there as well. But like I said, or like we said before, these flights cost a third less when using points. So on the portal, you'll see that the retail value of the flight is $580, but they'll also say that it only costs 38,600 points, which if you multiply 38,600 times 1.5, you'll get that $580 retail value. Does that make sense? Are you following me there? Do I need to clarify anything?
No, that doesn't make sense. That makes sense.
Okay. So you have the flight costs 38,600 points, but if you just move the decimal place over two, you'll have the points value of $386.
So you just basically multiply by 100.
Yeah, to get from one to the other. Yeah.
Okay. And so what was the points value and the dollar value?
Points value, 38,000 points. Dollar value, 580.
Okay. So why did you pick that deal over something else? Like, why didn't you go through a transfer partner?
So I'm not educated on that. Maybe you could help me on that. I only know, like I said, this is the first time I even bought something with points.
Yep.
And then I guess to answer your question, like, that was a good day for me to fly, and I thought it was a good deal.
So I think you did a good job. But basically, the reason why you couldn't transfer to American Airlines is that American Airlines is not a transfer partner of Chase Ultimate Rewards. So I think you did a fine job doing it that way. You found availability and you found something that fit you, like what you were looking for. What I'll also say is that Chase Ultimate Rewards are also direct transfer partners of United Airlines. And so United Airlines also flies to Australia pretty frequently. And so when you told me that you wanted to come back home and we were looking around for flights, what I found was that to get you home from Auckland to XNA, which United does fly to also, would have cost somewhere in the realm of like 70,000 points economy class. So I think it was a very good decision to book through the Chase Travel Portal.
Yeah, yeah. That's essentially twice as much using United as American.
And so basically what you have to do is when you're booking flights, which are probably the best type of deal using points, is that you have to look for award travel charts on the airline's website, okay? Mm-hmm. And they basically are flat rates. They'll give you, like, it costs 12,500 points to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. But if you go on the Chase Travel Portal and you find a flight that uses less than 12,500 Chase Travel points or Ultimate Rewards, then why would you transfer? It's better and cheaper to book it through the Chase Travel Portal.
Yeah, and knowing that one-to-one ratio exists between points and miles is super helpful in that case. Do you think we could link some of those charts that you're talking about in the show notes? I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah, I can get you some.
All right, we'll do that then.
But one thing I also got to point out, maybe I should have addressed this at the beginning, is that we talked about the hoarding versus using kind of methodologies. You either hoard points or use it frequently. Airlines are super smart, and they don't want you to actually use air miles, to be honest. Mm. They want you to pay cash, right? What they'll actually do is devalue their points. So what that means is that they will increase the amount of points to fly from the, let's say, the East Coast of the United States to the West Coast. So instead of 12,500, now you're paying 25,000, which is double the rate. So your points aren't worth as much. So that's kind of one of the things one of the reasons why you shouldn't actually hoard your points, because airlines are constantly devaluing their points and miles structure. Maybe if you're trying to save for a first class ticket from Tokyo to San Francisco, that's like 80,000 United miles. United could come in and devalue their award system, and now it's 120,000 miles. So you're kind of bad luck there. Yeah. And this happens a lot more frequently than you would think.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's unpredictable too. Like that's one of the reasons it really to is. Not hoard.
It really is.
Yeah.
So it's very unpredictable, and so hoarding isn't the best thing to do, but it's understandable like why you wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So going back to like a good value of a good transfer partner, is probably the flight I used with points to get to Rome from Baltimore. And so the cash value of the trip, of the flight, the one-way flight from Baltimore through Atlanta to Rome was probably at the time of booking about $700. Okay. So what would that be in points, Tony?
That's right around 46,000 points.
And that's for one person. And this is me and my wife going to Rome. So total cash value would have been probably about $1,500 for the both of us. And then 80,000 points if we were booking through the Chase Travel Portal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does.
So what we were able to do is we were able to transfer points to Air France, because they're a partner of Delta. They're both part of the same coalition called SkyTeam. And so if you transfer your points to Air France, you're able to book Delta flights through their points and miles system. So that's what we did. We transferred our Chase Ultimate Rewards to Air France, and then we booked our tickets on Delta. And that ratio for the both of us was 25,000 miles for the both of us.
Oh my God, that's significantly less.
Yes. So we saved money and points that way. So that's a good that's a good example of transferring your points or miles to a different transfer partner and then booking through that transfer partner. But I would say that the standard is 1.5. You basically want to redeem your points for $1.5 per point.
Yeah, wow. And you probably like 3x'd your points at that point, which is amazing. And so for me, somebody who's never done that, and I think probably the majority of our audience hasn't done that either, what is like your best like couple tips for doing that? Like, how did you approach that flight? How did you know to transfer them to Air France and Delta?
Yeah, so it's very difficult to actually figure out who's part of who, and there's always different technical glitches if you're trying to find partner airline tickets. So if, like, in my example, I transferred to Air France and then booked a Delta, sometimes there's just a technical difficulty on their end, so you can't actually do that. So the best thing to do would be to actually just Google it and see if people on, like, the Award Travel Reddit are able to do it, or actually even Points Guy will tell you if you're able to do it. You just got to Google it. I don't know if there's any good way to approach it besides that.
Okay, so you did a bunch of research to get to that point then.
Yeah.
Using Reddit and the Points Guys.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'll say is you primarily are going to use the portal or transfer. Like, there's no other alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And finding something that's good value is the 1.5 ratio.
Okay, that's baseline. You don't want to go any lower than that.
That's baseline. You do not want to go any lower than that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really... I did actually run into that where there was a flight that I was looking at that was less than that 1.5 point ratio. And I was shocked, but it is out there. Like, if you do the math, which you should be doing every time that you book through the points portal, there can be a time where you're paying more than you should. So just be aware of that.
I think one of the best things about booking points travel is that
it's free.
It's free. But it's also, like, intellectually stimulating.
You like the challenge of it.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and it's fun to me finding the best possible route for the least possible dollars.
I know what you mean. It's I have that same, like, thrill when I'm looking for a flight. It's kind of weird to say out loud, but it's a thing.
Yeah, but I think that these are, like, general basics that are good. So it's kind of just a rehash. You can earn points through airlines or hotel stays, and you can also earn points and miles through credit cards. Just make sure you pay off your balances. You can use the credit card's travel portal at a standard rate. But if you transfer to a partner that they're linked to, if you can get a better deal that's greater than the rate of the travel portal, then go for it. And that's all that travel is. It's trying to find the best possible rate, the easiest way. It's not too tricky. Another hobby that kind of stemmed from this is trying to experience different airplanes. I mean, that's one of the things that I am most interested in. I don't want to fly in those, you know, old buckets that have been built in 1970 that are still flying. I want to fly in the newer airplanes that have electronic shaded windows and high pressure altitude that goes, like, I don't know, 800 miles per hour or something. Like, I want to fly in the newer jets, and actually that interest in flying different planes stem from a war travel, you know?
Yeah. You were quite the luxurious traveler there.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Is there anything else, like, any questions that you think a basic beginner would want to know?
I guess just getting started. Like, we can definitely include the links to some of these cards that we're talking about. Again, like Mark mentioned, it's not like we're getting sponsored by this or anything, but it's just something that we are both passionate about, and we want to share the knowledge with you guys. So that will get you started. And then I do plan on, well, by the time this episode is released, there will be a pretty in-depth guide at the 4501podcast.com/10 about traveling with points and miles that me and Mark are going to collaborate on and make for you guys. So use that as a resource, as a kicking off point, and you can go from there. And obviously there'll be a comments section at the bottom, so you can ask us any questions that you have about traveling with points.
Okay. I think that's it. Well, Tony, I said last episode, don't get sunburned. This episode, I'll say, don't get punched by a kangaroo or anything like that.
I feel like, well, at least in the wild, they would do that to you. But in the settings that I've seen them in, like zoos and rehabilitation centers, they're so tame and so friendly. They're like pets, essentially.
Don't say that. PETA's going to come after you.
Who?
PETA. PETA.
Oh, they don't exist here, do they?
They're worldwide, man. They're going to come after you.
Shit, you're right.
Anyways, PETA, don't come after us. This has been an episode of the 4501 Podcast. We will catch you guys later.
See ya.
Peace out.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.